so funny. You guys are hilarious. Okay, you need to sit down. I have limited time, okay, so we don't have time for encouragement and applause. One time I had to drive Pastor Brad to the airport and I probably chitter-chatted the whole way and he left and blah, blah, blah. And it wasn't until that afternoon I found out that day had been his birthday and I hadn't even said anything. And I was like, I will pay him back one day. And today was that day, Pastor Brad. So you're welcome. Are you all good? Awesome. Good. Okay, tonight I want to speak about, I don't have a title for my sermon. That's not the title. I don't have one. And so we've come up with a couple. It's a bit to do with snipers and a bit to do with combat. But Jared came up with the best, which is the combat zone. Pastor Brad spoke about the safe zone and the faith zone this morning. And so tonight we're speaking about the combat zone. So my scripture is 2 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 9 part A, because I didn't like part B, it didn't fit with my sermon. No. Part A, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. And so after over these last few weeks, we've been doing Vision Sunday and talking about Nehemiah, as you would all know. And if you are a visitor here tonight, if it's your first time, you've never stepped foot in a church, I pray that you hear the voice of God tonight. Because tonight we're going to be speaking about being marked by God. And you're going to hear words like marked and surrender and living a life that isn't unto yourself but unto God. And so I'm praying that the Holy Spirit speaks to you tonight. And so I just wanted to get around this conversation about marked and how the eyes of God, when we talk about being marked, it's actually all I could think about was when someone's, you know, have you got your eyes on the mark? Like you see those movies where, probably more for boys, but I always get into that stuff and I'm sorry and I'm trying to be more feminine, but no. No, super feminine, like I do my toenails and everything. But all I could think about was when, have you got your eyes on the mark? And I thought about this scripture, how the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. And so I wanted to speak about being marked. And I wanted to also talk about the fact that being marked and having the eyes of God on you is not a life that is a life of dictatorship or control or rules, but it is a life where God's eyes are watching all the time, not in judgment, but his eyes are watching, going, are they going to do what I put in their heart to do? Are they going to accomplish everything I've asked them to fulfill? And it also promises in the second part of that scripture that he will strengthen us for those who are committed to him. So not only has he called us, but the full resource of heaven is at our disposal to strengthen us in what we're called to do. When I was 17, I owned a mustard colored Corona. And it was pretty awesome. And it was known as the cheese cutter in youth because it was so noisy. It was like those old school cheese cutters that went, like it was so bad. In fact, one time, I'm going to tell this story. Jared and I had a fight when we were dating and I was so angry with him. And we were outside of his house. And I was just crying and he had had enough of me. So he got out and shut the door and went inside, dropped him home. Mind you, probably didn't have a car or a job or a license. But anyway, hey. But I was so upset. I was like, that's it, I'm leaving. But I had no intention of leaving. I was just going to make him think I'd left. So I circled the block for ages and I thought, any minute now, he's going to call me and say sorry. Any minute. And I kept looking at my mobile and he didn't call. And about 20 minutes later, I called him and said, well, are you not going to call me? I've left. And he goes, I knew you didn't leave. I could hear your car circling around the whole block. Oh, that car. Oh, anyway, the reason I'm telling you this is no spiritual significance to that story whatsoever. But I used to take that car and I'd go visit my brother and my sister-in-law every weekend. And so they lived in Mandurah, which is about a 45, 50-minute drive from the city. It's south. It's near the ocean. It's beautiful. It was about an hour to where I lived, which is Kelmscott. And it's not as glamorous. You can go to the shop without your shoes on and no one judges. You know what I mean? So we I used to drive to Scott's place every weekend and hang out with them. And so there would be weekends where I was rostered on as BV. I was rostered onto backing vocal, and my mum and dad were the worship pastors. And so there was every opportunity for me to kind of go, oh, I'm going to be at Scott and Ally's and I'm in Mandurah. It's an hour drive. I don't want to go and sing on Sunday morning because it's super early. My car's not super reliable, and I don't feel like doing it. But I knew that there was something inside of me. And this isn't a talk about being committed to your roster and fulfilling your roster, although if that is what the Holy Spirit is talking to you about, please let him convict your spirit. And if you're not on a roster, perhaps it's time to get on one. But that's not what this is. It was something deeper. I was a BV at a little church of Christ with probably 60 people attending, but I knew I had to be there. I knew that I had to go and fulfill my role as backing vocalist because I could physically sometimes feel the eyes of the Lord on me. Sometimes I could physically, I knew I was called. I knew I was called to something. I knew I was marked. And as an 8-year-old little girl, I would sit behind my bedroom door listening to Kids Praise and Salty the Singing Songbook and cry and colouring in my books, and I knew that worship was something in my heart, and I knew I was called to something significant. Dan will appreciate that. We've got this whole song about being significant. It's hilarious. I won't share it with you guys tonight because you won't think it's funny. But I knew that I was called to something deeper. And, you know, when we live a life that's marked by the Spirit of God, in John 15:16, he promises that we will bear much fruit. And not that it's much fruit, but we'll be bear fruit that remains. And so tonight, that's my challenge. Do you feel called? You feel marked by God, but you need to live a life that lives a life of surrender and knows you are marked. The eyes of the Lord are on you and he is for you. But I've called this sermon the combat zone because who knows that when you're marked by God, that when the eyes of the Lord are on you, you're also marked by the enemy. And all I could think about was that little red sniper dot on people's heads in the movies when you walk around and the sniper is just ready to take you out. I know it sounds super full on, but that's all I could think about. When you're marked by God and you're called to something, you're also marked by the enemy. He's fully aware of what you're called to. He's fully aware of what you can accomplish through Christ who strengthens you. And he has every single moment planned out to come against the call of God on your life, to come against your authority, to come against every single moment that you would want to give to God. He has got something in place and ready to take you down. This isn't to bring you fear. This is to make us aware. It says that in the word that my people perish due to lack of knowledge. And so if we aren't aware that the enemy is out to get us, we will have no arsenal. We will have nothing to attack him with. And so with this whole thought about snipers and as you do, I looked up snipers. And as I was looking it up on the internet, I thought, can they see me looking up snipers? Are they going to like come and get me? Because I'm like, you know. What, Christine? She said something amazing. Okay, snipers. Here's the definition of a sniper. They shoot from an isolated area. They are a skilled military shooter detailed to spot soldiers from a concealed place. Then the difference between a sniper and a marksman is someone who is skilled in shooting. It is more open and less concealed. And as we look through Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah, we actually see the enemy's tactic both in the concealed and in outright open attack on his life. Ridicule, opposition. Then we see other moments where Nehemiah has this guy come to him and says, come on, come into the temple. I'll protect you. I'll look after you. And Nehemiah says, I perceived that this was not the word of God. And so it is so important as we live out our Christian walk that we are hearing from the word of God. We are able to observe false prophecies, false people who are not from God, and recognize the work of the enemy in our lives. And Nehemiah saw this. So I just want to quickly go through Nehemiah chapter 4, and it's quite a few verses, so I'll read super fast. We're going to skip a couple of verses. So we've got Nehemiah 4 verse 6, and it says, so we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the people of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet his threat. Verse 11, also our enemy said, before they know it, listen to this, before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and will kill them and put an end to the work. Concealed, concealed. Verse 13, therefore I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears and bows. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. Verse 15, when our enemies had heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to our own work. So we see a full onslaught of the enemy, and now the enemy knows that we know that he knows what's going on. And I can just imagine the workers doing the work and going, so they know that we know that they knew. Are we still, we're still doing this. Good, okay, we're still building the wall. We're still doing this. And I just couldn't help but think when I was reading this verse 15 that if this was about me, I may not have been in the Bible. I thought this is how it would have ended. Now, when our enemies heard that we knew about their plot against us and that God had frustrated their plan, Sarah thought perhaps God was moving her on from her original purpose. The end. Or, now when our enemies heard that we knew about their plot against us and that God had frustrated their plan, we all decided to live under the radar. So as not to disrupt the enemy again. No, we all return to the wall, each to his own work. We recognise the work of the enemy and we get on with the job. In my sniper research, it says, during the stalking phase, now you need to listen to the language around this because this is so the devil, this is so the enemy. During the stalking phase of their attack, a sniper will, if time allows, try to identify high-value targets, such as senior officers. They will do this by closely observing the behaviour of the people in front of them. The intention is to identify who is in charge and then prepare to fire at them. It naturally follows that leaders should attempt to blend into the background by avoiding anything that distinguishes them from the most junior soldiers and attracts the interest of a sniper. Is that not what our temptation is? Just blend into the background, avoid anything that distinguishes us. We don't want to attract the attention of the enemy. Additionally, other acts such as looking at maps, this is funny, using a radio, pointing authoritatively, abstaining from menial tasks, hello, cleaning the toilet at church or whatever, and other forms of body language can betray an officer's rank. However, it is important to emphasise that if a sniper cannot identify an officer, they may then select any person that they have a good chance of hitting. This is a bit of those darned if you do, darned if you don't situations. But I look at the language and I see that the sniper, when he's got his mark and he's ready to fire, he's looking for behaviour that would identify someone to take down. Certain behaviour, and we see Nehemiah, there's in chapter 2, he goes in the dark of night and he doesn't tell anyone what he's doing at first. And then when it's time, he decides to put his intention into action and he decides, okay, come, let's build this wall together. And so, you know, as soon as we start acting out in the mark of God, as soon as we start living out the call of God on our lives, we get the attention of the enemy. And there's actually nothing to be terrified of because God has us. It says that the eyes of the Lord search the earth for those who are fully committed to him and who he may strengthen. So we always have God watching us, ready to strengthen us. I actually noticed that Nehemiah never shrunk back. He didn't try to blend into the background. He didn't avoid the work as so that he would avoid attention. I dare say he even continued to point authoritatively. He continued in the work. And you know, tonight, I was just getting ready for church this morning actually, and the kids were killing each other downstairs or whatever, and I was putting my makeup on, and I was just thinking about tonight, and I just had this thing just happen in my spirit about some people that are here tonight, and I just wanted to bring attention to it while we're on this subject. And you know, we read just before that that Nehemiah said that the people got to halfway on the wall. They got to halfway. And it says that they got to halfway quickly because they had in their heart to do the work. They had in their heart to do the work. And I believe that there are people here tonight that your wall is half built. You've seen success. And the question of your heart has never been in question, ever. You've always had a great heart. You're a hard worker. You've done everything unto God. And you've seen your wall half built. You've seen a measure of success in what God's called you to do. And I actually imagine people going, well, hang on a minute. God originally told me to build this wall. Like, say, Nehemiah. God originally told me to build this wall. Now the enemy is really upping the ante with their attack. And just maybe I was actually never meant to fulfill it. Maybe what I was meant to do, maybe it was just a test of obedience. Maybe it was an Abraham and Isaac thing. Maybe God was just going to tell, you know, Abraham got told by God to kill his son Isaac. And right before he did it, God provided the ram. And I felt people saying in this room tonight, you've looked at the half-built wall of your destiny and the call of God on your life. And you've gone, well, maybe it was just a step of obedience. Maybe this actually was never God's plan to have this come to fruition. And I'm here to tell you tonight that is a lie of the enemy. It is a scheme. And we break that down in the name of Jesus right now. Now, your job is to finish what you started. Your job is to finish the call of God and that which He has put in your life to do. When we see Nehemiah come against the enemy, I love this point. I did it myself. But when we see Nehemiah come against the enemy, he understood that it wasn't for him to change his mind. And God hadn't changed his mind. In fact, he understood he wasn't to change course, but he was to change tactic against the enemy. They had had a measure of success, a measure of things, building, then ridicule, opposition from the enemy. And what he did was he got to half the wall, then the enemy just came in. We're going to sneak in. We're going to come from concealment. We're going to kill them. And it would have been so easy for Nehemiah to go, maybe God's changed his mind. Maybe this isn't what I'm called to. But instead of even questioning God, he prayed against the enemy and changed tactic against the enemy. We see this in verse 16. It says so we're in chapter 4, verse 16. From that day on, half of my servants carried on the work while the other half held the spears, shields, bows and breastplates. And the captains were behind the whole house of Judah. Those who were rebuilding the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that everyone worked with one hand and held a weapon in the other. Don't be tempted to call it. You know, the game's called on account of rain. Don't be tempted to call it. Don't change course. Change tactic against the enemy. I'm just going to get some water. Could you all do that thing? Thanks. You know, in my life, recently actually, I struggle badly with this. I've never struggled with what my call of God was. I've never struggled with that. I've struggled time and time again with the fact that I'm called. I've struggled with the fact that His eyes are on me and He's watching and He wants me to do well. I've struggled with the fact that I don't just get to do what I want. I've struggled with the fact sometimes that God would make me move to Sydney, away from my family and my house. You know, you do that little prayer to God about your life. I didn't even rehearse that. Did you like it? But we all do it. We all do it with our lives. I don't think the question ever has been, are we called? Am I called? The question is, why? Why am I called? Why would you do this to me? Why would you make me lay down my life? Why would you make me surrender? Why does not everyone get to that point? Because it costs something. It's surrender. It's cost. And, you know, I've completely gone off topic, but what I was going to say was, when it comes to the enemy and the attacks of the enemy, what I struggled with big time in my call of God and what I've been marked to do is that the more I pursued God, I believed the more the demonic would be evident in my life. I'm a bit of a person who has dreams. I'm a bit of a person who kind of sees some stuff every now and then. And not to go into that. We're not glorifying the enemy whatsoever. He is under our feet and completely defeated. But what I am saying is it was a genuine fear in my life, a genuine fear that the more I pursued God and when I went, yes, okay, I'm laying down my life and I'm giving everything that I've got so that one day when I leave this planet, people can say about me, she changed people's lives. She left an impact. She left a legacy. But I was so terrified that as I stepped into that, that the demonic realm would come up against me even more. And it wasn't until I started to declare scriptures like, I will never have to worry about an attack of demonic forces at night. I will not have to fear a spirit of darkness coming against me. Demonic danger will not trouble me, for God will keep me safe and secure, and they will not lay a hand on me. Fear not, for I am with you, says God. He also says, I will make you lie down in sweet sleep. And so what I want to come against tonight is if you're struggling with that fear, you need to get some scriptures. You need to start to claim some scriptures over your life. I will not fear. I will not fear. I will not fear the demonic at night. Your action, this is point three. I don't even know if I've said any other points, but my second point was your action gets the attention of the enemy. And this point is your action gets the attention of heaven. Hashtag favor is fair. If I see one more Instagram post, Emily's laughing at me. When we teach our kids to share lollies, right? We go, come on, be fair. What does that mean? What are we doing? Distribute the lollies evenly, right? Be fair. Be fair. Favor's for everyone. The favor of God is for everyone. Favor is what opens doors that you couldn't on your own. Favor is what brings breakthrough into your life. Favor is grace bestowed on us when we didn't deserve it. Favor is for every single person, and Nehemiah understood it. It's important that we know that favor is for every single person, because if we don't understand that the favor of God is for us as individuals, it starts to distort our view of our life, and it starts to distort how we view the fights we come up against and how we view the blessing of God and how we view how to walk out this marking of God on our lives. What happens is you start to go, oh, well, maybe I'm coming up against this because I'm not as favored. Or maybe that person got the house, or maybe Pastor Brad Nally got a house because they're more favored than I am. I didn't think that, but I'm just saying. Maybe that person got that job promotion. Hashtag favor ain't fair. Maybe that person, favor ain't fair. Favor's for everyone. And Nehemiah understood it. He understood it. I've written here, we can't enter into the life that we're called to or engage in enemy warfare when we don't know that putting a demand on the favor of heaven is even an option. We see all throughout Nehemiah where Nehemiah asked for the favor of God. He asked for the favor of God. Chapter 4, verse 13, he says, hear us, O God. God, come and hear me. Chapter 1, verse 6, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open. Chapter 1, verse 11, Lord, let your ear be attentive. Chapter 5, verse 19, remember me with favor, my God. If the band could come up, please. Nehemiah was in the perfect place at the perfect time in the will of God. And yet he still had the wisdom to call favor of heaven on his life. He came up against opposition and ridicule, and yet he knew, this is not my fight. God, I'm asking for favor. God, I'm asking for favor with the king. God, I'm asking for favor in this circumstance. God, I need you to be attentive in this situation. God, I need you to attend to this. I need you to hear. I need you to have your eyes open on me, because you said your eyes roam the whole earth looking for those who are fully committed. Well, I'm fully committed, and I'm calling the full favor of God and the full favor of heaven down into my situation right now. You know what I love about this whole idea about snipers and how the enemy is in a concealed place? If you've ever seen a cop movie where the SWAT team come in and they just all arrive like a pack of ninjas out of nowhere, dropping from the ceiling, dressed in black and all their big everything's on. And the sniper's sitting there, he hasn't even blinked, and they've already taken him down. They all just appear out of nowhere because it only takes one call. As soon as they've got the one call, we know have the sniper's position, one call to the senior officer, and that SWAT team are in there. People are unharmed and the sniper is taken down. Psalm 91, this is the Passion Translation. I love it. When we live our lives within the shadow of the God Most High, our secret hiding place, we will always be shielded from harm. How then could evil prevail against us or disease infect us? God will send his messengers, aka SWAT team, angels with special orders to protect you wherever you go, defending you from all harm. If you walk into a trap, they'll be there for you and keep you from stumbling. You'll even walk unharmed among the fiercest powers of darkness, trampling every one of them beneath your feet. For here is what the Lord has spoken to me. Here is what the Lord has spoken to Shire Life Church. Because you have chosen to be my great lover, I have chosen to greatly protect you. I will set you in a high place, safe and secure before my face. I will answer your cry for help every time you pray, and you will find and feel my presence even in your time of pressure and trouble. I will be your glorious hero and give you success. You will be satisfied with a full life and with all that I do for you, for you will feast your eyes on the fullness of my salvation, drinking deeply of me. What I love about our lives is that the enemy thinks he is in a concealed spot. He thinks he is sitting there with his little gun and his little laser beam on our heads, ready to take us out. And he thinks he's all concealed, and he thinks no one has any idea. And he does not know that it takes one call to God of the angel armies, and he will bring in his full arsenal of heaven to take the enemy down. And all we need to do is call upon him. That is his promise. My eyes roam throughout the whole earth, looking for those who are fully committed to me, to strengthen them, to strengthen them. One call to the senior officer, one call to God of the angel armies, and the full resource of heaven, the full favor of heaven is on our lives. And tonight, I wanted to open up the front of the church, open up the altar. And in a moment, Pastor Jackson's going to come and give you an opportunity to meet Jesus if you have never met Jesus before. But right now, there are people here tonight that have got fear. Maybe you're going through what I went through. Maybe you're just so terrified to pursue the things of God because you're so terrified about the other side, the enemy who will come in and get you. Maybe you're fearful, and we're going to break it. We're going to break fear. He does not know that we know that what I said. We're going to break fear tonight. I don't want you to be nervous about coming down the front. I want you to come down. Get rid of that thing. Get rid of it. Just get rid of it. Why would you live? Why would you let... You know, if there was someone living in your house, if you had a roommate or a person that you could get rid of, maybe, you know, anyway. If you had someone living in your house that said, oh, you can't do that. Every time you talked about doing something, or every time you thought, oh, I believe that God's told me to do that. Well, why would you want to do that? What if demons come in your bedroom? Or what if blah, blah, blah? What if you die? What if something horrible happens? You wouldn't live with them for very long. You'd be like, man, that chick is getting me down. That person they are full of fear. All they do is speak fear at me. And yet, we let fear live in our lives on a daily basis, and we don't even bother to try and get rid of it. And God says his favor is there. The full resource of heaven is there to take him out. So tonight, if that's you, if you're fearful, come down the front. We're going to pray for you. And also, if you don't know that you're marked, if you don't know that the eyes of the Lord are on you, if you felt like the eyes of the Lord were a judgmental pair of eyes, but really, in fact, they're the eyes that just love you so much. They are eyes that are there to see you be everything he called you to be. That's why he died on the cross, for relationship with you, and to see you absolutely become the best you that you can possibly be. So we want to pray against fear tonight. We want to pray for calling reaffirmed in people's lives. And so if that's you, I want everyone to stand. Father God, maybe you're just weary. Maybe your wall is half built. Maybe you've seen success. Maybe you're just tired. Maybe you're sick of fighting. Maybe you've been in the fight. Maybe you know how to fight. Maybe you're like, Sarah, I actually know that stuff. I pray for the favor of God. I pray for heaven to come and just intercede. I'm exhausted. Just come down the front. We're going to pray for refreshing. The ability, strength. And, you know, in Nehemiah, there's a part where the workers turn, I think it's verse 10 of chapter 4, and it says, the workers' hands are getting weary. I don't think we can do it. There's a part where the enemy says you can't do it. The leaders turn to Nehemiah and say, you can't do it. And then the workers, who was actually going to benefit, say, oh, you can't do it. Because the strength of the hands, they're getting weary. And Nehemiah's response is, so I said, God, strengthen my hands. And so tonight, if that's you, if you're just sick of fighting, you're so sick of fighting, God, strengthen our hands. Come on, come down the front. We're going to sing. We're going to worship. We're going to sing King of My Heart. You're never going to...